Hello, world outside. How are you feeling today? It is what, week 4 or 5 or 6 of the corona crisis? I don't know. I start to lose track of time. Seriously, my wife and I catch each other frequently asking the other one what day it is. But hey, it doesn't really matter, right? It is maybe one of the better things of the whole fucked up situation that it is not important whether you're locked down at home on a Monday or Friday or Sunday. What I do know, though, is that it is the Easter weekend and the churches are closed, but the bunnies roam pretty much freely this year with no interference of the humankind. Well, nature is taking a very much needed big breather now, too. What else? Well, the lack of business hits a lot of us hard. I just spoke on the phone with my friend Julia Vesselo, who together with her husband Olli is running the small and independent Kehrwieder Kreativbrauerei in Hamburg, and they are currently working their asses off non-stop to at least survive online. Not many supermarkets stock up on pricier craft beer these days, all the bars are closed and everything else cancelled, so Julia and Olli have to come up with new ideas to keep the beer flowing, so to say. If you are following me, you know that I'm the artist behind all the artwork on labels and packaging and so on, so we have a pretty close bond. That is why I'm recommending to join us for the birthday celebration of the headliner beer called Prototyp on Friday, April 17. I'll be there alongside a few other guests entertaining you at least virtually in the special online birthday bash. Check out their website kehrwieder.bier, buy the special event ticket and beer box, or order any of the other great beers online. Olli creates the finest brews on the market. Trust me on this. Okay, back to the podcast. With this series of special editions of Helium Talk, I'm trying to find out how the art community around the world is doing. So I'm checking in with artists, gallerists, collectors, journalists and so on to hear how they are dealing with being locked down and what their ideas are to make the best of this. For this show I spoke with Chris and Florian Schmidt, better known as the artist duo Lowbros. Yes, I already had them on earlier this year for a German episode when we still could record in my studio in Hamburg. For this one, we got in touch over the internet and we spoke English. So here we go. I hope you enjoy the Germans talking. Helium Talk. Helium
Talk. Where are you guys now?
We're in our studio in Hamburg. We are pretty lucky because the studio is in the same house where I live. So we can stay at home, kind of.
Yeah. But you're rebuilding the studio now as well, right? It's a new studio that you...
It's a new studio and we now use the time and also used the time before to renovate and build everything up, set everything up. Still a lot to do, but we're actually
a bit lucky with the situation now because we just realized it's so much to do. It would have taken us a while till we get to this point we're now.
So it's kind of a welcome break for you?
Actually, yes. Like we often talk about these like little, like that we wish for these little time bubbles, as we call them. You know, we realized that, for example, when we went to Poland, to Warsaw, and we got there on train for like safe emissions, so on. And it was a 7-hour ride and we enjoyed it so much that we're locked there. We had a part for ourselves. It's like was like our little office. We had so much ideas. It was like really, really got deep into work in there because no one's bothering you. At least as long as we went through Germany, there was no phone connection, no internet, nothing. So, yeah, it's pretty similar now.
Yeah. The whole situation is so unreal, and for the moment, it's really, it's like someone pushed the brake button, and now I enjoy it because, there's so much stuff that needs to be done, and you never find the time to do it, like renovating your studio or still the topic with the website. I mean, it's still not the way we wanted to have it. We talked about it in the last podcast. But now we have the time to concentrate on stuff like that. You know,
if we stay for the positive things for a while, because we all know there are a lot of negative sides to that too. But you kind of get to know what the essentials are. And I think a lot of artists will realize like how far they got away from like what they're actually doing. I mean, if we look back on how much time we actually spend on being productive and what could have been possible if you're not like being like communicating all the time, like so much. Like the last years, it was really hard for us to really get in these sessions where you stay focused for longer than 2 hours or something. Mm-hmm. And that's what something we were always happy for these mural projects as well, because this was a time like you have a week of like only being focused on one work, one piece. Mm-hmm. That's what we enjoyed so much, even if it was super exhausting often to get this done within the time, but you were so focused. So afterwards it felt a bit like holiday. Mm-hmm. It's not something you have in this everyday studio situation.
Yeah.
So for the new studio, it's also planned to cut a little bit the connection to the outside world.
Yeah, for the moment, I'm super pushed to just get rid of all these little things you have in the back of your mind, to then start focusing on the production part, the production side, get creative again and have the space to do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are not lazy at the moment, but it's maybe just not that much creative output at the moment, because we try to set everything up to then go forward.
Yeah, I think I think a big issue for many people now is to not go crazy by being indoors most of the time and in a confined space most of the time. If you as an artist, if you have a studio that you can go to, that of course is can be a big relief. But do you stay in contact also with other artists? Because I mean, you're part of a huge community. When you say communicating, communicating is now on a different level now than before. I guess before, when you've spoken to friends and colleagues and, you know, other people, it was mostly about work. And I don't know, maybe today it's more about how they're doing. Right?
Yeah, true. Now, I have to admit, we only slowly starting to talk to our friends again. I think for us it was a pretty welcome time out to just focusing on our things. Chris on his family,
I think
setting everything up.
Each of us needed to deal with the situation and see how we handle it by itself. Mm-hmm. Because for me, for example, I have a daughter at home and my wife is doing home office, so there are two people working. And need to keep care about a child, and that's not an easy situation. You first need to figure out how to handle it, and I think each of us has his own problems or his own need to find himself in this situation and see how he can continue.
Yeah, for me, I'm quite introverted anyway, so it was a bit welcome to have an excuse to not communicate that much. But now we both feel to the need to reconnect with our friends, especially the ones in the US. We want to know what's going on there, because as you see, like it's crazy out there, and we're so sorry for them to have to deal with this situation in this country with this kind of system. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, I think it's also different. It's all probably also different where you are in the United States right now. But if you're in the big cities like in New York, for example, I couldn't imagine too. I mean, it's I mean, people there live also in very, very small flats and on very confined spaces with many people. And I mean, even Hamburg is much better in that respect, because there's more space.
Yeah, and some of us are pretty privileged, like we are with our studio and everything.
Yeah, we're really, really lucky situation, like if you compare it to other persons, you know. Like, yeah. I mean, Flo just moved here back to Hamburg together with his girlfriend, so he's, you know, he doesn't need to be isolated in Berlin. And
true. I just made it on time when it just started to get crazy.
Yeah,
it's pretty weird though, moving at this time.
Yeah.
And no, but also like if you imagine people, like we just talked to our manager. She was in New York in Brooklyn, but she made it out to her parents now. But yeah, we know so many people there who, what you said with the tiny flats, but they have to pay an enormous rent there, and and people usually just make it from month to month. And now imagine with all the projects that got canceled and so on.
Yeah,
I really feel with them. Like, I mean, we are pretty lucky that we, have a bit money on the side, so we will be able to survive half a year, but you don't know what's coming and how this whole thing changed.
Did you have any projects canceled?
We had a really big project. We prepared for it for 1 month, and then it got canceled like very last minute. It was in Munich. And we would be there now. Yeah, we could see that it's just not possible, but they didn't want it to cancel it. Yeah, it was a weird situation. That would have been good to do that, to have like more money on the side for the next month. But on the other hand, it's like, it would be like 1 month of work or 3 weeks or whatever. And so we can stay home.
I think the real struggle is about to begin, not necessarily with the whole virus situation, but with also with the aftermath. I mean, in regards to a community that is very fragile anyway, the arts community, in regards to making money, you know, and having regular income. I mean, usually, I don't know. From my perspective, the year is kind of divided in phases where it's easier to sell art or make money as an artist. And one time where you don't make money as an artist is usually during summer, unless you're maybe booked for a project outdoors or a music project. But that is usually a time where the market is more or less like now, you know, like in the summer holidays in Germany. It's very, I mean, you rarely move a painting. Nobody's there. Everybody's spending money on the holidays and stuff like that, which might be different this year because people will not be able to go that much on holiday. So maybe there's some money for the arts, we don't know. And then it's like in fall, you know, so the market starts, and it's like always a very good time from September to through December, actually. That could be quite good. And then January, February is quieter again. And now we're actually in a phase where the markets we're about to start, where people start to do the more important exhibitions sales-wise and everything. And that's exactly when the mic dropped, you know, sort of. So there's a big hole, and that is something I'm pretty sure that most artists that I know that I'm working with can survive for a month or two without going completely, you know, sort of homeless and bankrupt. But I think then at some point it starts to get more difficult, because as an artist you don't necessarily think that much about money and regular income because it doesn't exist. You know, it's very hard to see
plan in the future right now, right?
Also, when everybody wants to repeat, you know, sort of like the shows that were canceled, I mean, they can't make exhibitions then like every 2 weeks. The market is not bigger then, time is not more at hand, you know. So we have to see how that pans out. But I agree. I mean, being an artist and having a studio can be helpful. It's, I've been speaking with Evan Pricko from Juxtapose magazine before this podcast, and we both use the term therapy quite a lot. So what's the therapy now for us as an artist to paint, as an artist to work? So I think as long as you get something for your hands to do, it's good. Yeah. But you also see, you know, there's a lot of, especially from the arts community, people showing how they work and giving tutorials. And do you plan to change your social media or your output, online output now a bit more? Because, I mean, there's not much skateboarding, I guess, and not much outdoors.
Probably make some studio skateboarding sessions.
Actually, we plan to have an exhibition in September, which seems not realistic at the moment, but we still will continue the studio work. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as we got our painting room finished, we will jump on that. So you will have some studio insights, working what we've done anyway. Then we had the idea for this summer to just outside build a wall or something to paint there, and maybe some indoor skating and some activities. Then also we finally have the chance to jump on all the footage we collected last year and maybe edit some videos out of that. to remember the good old times.
Oh, they'll be back. Yeah. Different, but they'll be back.
And then we will of course see like how well this whole thing will go to, and which new ideas will pop up related to the whole Corona situation.
I mean, we had this. We talked about this in the last podcast, which is not very long ago that we've recorded the one in German. But we talked about your social and political engagement in your art. So, do you think that there is influence from? I mean, not everybody will be drawing bats now and the virus itself. But I mean, it's a topic that's also has a social and political component. Yeah. Would that be a part of something that you're thinking of in the future?
I think rather the social component. Mm-hmm. It's pretty interesting right now. Yeah, it's also, I read a lot about like acceleration and deacceleration in our society. And you have tons of books where people tell you like, oh yeah, how to deaccelerate. But it's not really possible if the whole society goes fast to be the only one to go a bit slower and be more relaxed. And now it's a chance that it's the same situation for the whole world, actually. So everyone can go a bit slower and is able to focus a bit more about what's essential.
Actually, every one of us who are in charge to run everything.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course, not for everyone the same, but for the society as a whole. It will be interesting. What will be an interesting open discourse, I guess, to see where we want to head after this. Yeah, and it's a chance. It's a chance to think about what can, like, where can we go after all of this. I think it's the chance for some new utopias, which was hardly possible because everything seemed so stuck. Like, oh yeah, it's not. How should we change all this? How can we slow it down if necessary? So, I think there will be a lot of interesting reveals out of the situation, and we of course keep watching and see.
So it will have an effect on our work as we always deal with the social behavior. Mm-hmm. And usually it was influenced by through the digital age, and now it's also influenced through Corona. So we will see how we can link it to our work.
Yeah. It's already also economy wise. It's funny. Mark Griffin just read a tweet that's how interesting it is that as soon as we only buy the essential things we need, the economy. Directly collapse. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. I mean, how clearly can you see that the economy is bad and the nature is doing great? So the way we did it now is like, I mean, everyone knew it before, but to see it this obviously is interesting, I guess. And
yeah, it's crazy if you like look back at it in 100 years or longer ago, you can make a whole new Bible story out of it with Greta the prophet comes to us, tell us to stop doing what we do, and we ignore it, and nature hits back. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I think it's also interesting because the last year it was all about like, hey, we need to make a change, we need to make a change. And I think a lot of people are open for that, but nobody came with an actual idea like how we can change things. And now we are forced to think about how we can change things.
And you are confronted with a different kind of reality. I mean, it's just, well, you know, so we hit the pause button on everything. And before when especially climate activists were saying we kind of have to stop certain things, industry was always telling us and politics was always telling us it's impossible. It's totally impossible. And now we see we still survive. We still have toilet paper and enough food on the table. And it's a struggle and it's different. But the nature aspect, I mean, I'm definitely not very esoteric or anything, but as soon as this started, at least here in Germany, to hit us, when it came really, really close, the weather started to become beautiful. It was like nature was trying to tell us something.
Yeah.
So you're inside, stay indoors, And outside, it's really nice now.
We had rain for weeks, you need to say, right?
Yeah, it was terrible. The weather was terrible by then.
And then it's crazy.
Yeah. And now nobody can travel and nobody can go to visit parents on Easter or somewhere or stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's weird. But that's another interesting aspect. I mean, I think one important thing, especially for people with a public voice like you guys, is that that you have to stay watchful and you know, mm-hmm. point out things, maybe different things. But how do you arrange yourself with the sudden implementation of restrictions that are so not what we are used to living in a democracy like in Germany, like, you know, so staying at home, not being able to visit other Bundesstaaten states, you know, like if you're in Hamburg, you can't go to Schleswig-Holstein. I mean, you can't go outside of this very small city state because police will tell you to go back. It's like a border, a frontier within Germany.
It's a thing. We didn't experience it on our own. I mean, like, you only feel the change as soon as you move, right? Mm-hmm. But it's kind of concerning what you read, and I think there are a lot of things that are necessary to do. And I think at least in the first part, our government did pretty good with telling everyone to be
responsible
for themselves, and it worked pretty good. I think at the moment you need to find a good balance, and that's something we often think, like, it's not either black or white, but something in between. It's like we have to make compromises as a society, and I think from some things I read, like the state definitely went too far with what in single situations police did, or what was it about the demonstration where the protesters like kept the distance and everything, mm-hmm. were pretty responsible, but still got kicked away. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of concerning in some ways.
Concerning is probably there. Yeah.
Yeah. I still need some time, you know, to go through that, to really see where what it does to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the daily life here is not so completely different to my normal life, because family life is most of the time at home. Of course, we're not able to go to parties or exhibitions or meet friends. That's a hard thing, but I think to really feel it still needs some time. I mean, sometimes I still need to think about all the people we meet during our travels, and this is something I really miss. But yeah, but I said, like, for the moment, you have enough stuff to do and you're happy that you can do that. And I think we need to see, like, how is it in 3 months, or, mm-hmm. you know, because we need to keep it up for a long while. And to realize that, I think I still need some time. And I live for the moment now. And then I will need to figure out, like, in a couple of months, like, what's really up there.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, you have a lot of opinions out there, and I think it's important to keep up an open discourse without, like, being too aggressive, because, like, mm-hmm. we don't, like, no one, like, completely knows, like, what's happening, where we're heading. So I think it's good to stay calm, as everyone mm-hmm. says, right, and keep the discourse open and, listen to the people who are really... really know what they're talking about on the medical side, but also, like, for society, it's just important to find the right compromises and not get too, like, stubborn in your on your view, because there's also a lot of, like, I mean, like, we're more like left liberal, and so you watch a lot of friends on Facebook and then it sometimes get annoying if like some people are get like too far left and just see like, oh, my whole freedom, my whole rights are like now cut, and finally the government show its face and so on. And I think like everyone needs to open up a little bit for some measurements that have to be like taken, for example, with the apps and and you need to always like balance like, okay, what's really necessary, and yeah, like see where you end up and be a bit open to a solution that it's in the end maybe rather positive than negative. I don't know what to say.
No, I understand. I mean, there's definitely something positive that can come out of an extreme situation like this. I mean, it's everybody, you know, can think about these things. You're right. It's about also trying to understand, not just react. Like we've been used to reacting to things, you know, like if there's somebody we don't like or we're politically not against and this person opens its mouth and says something, you're immediately, yeah. We just react. We say, just it's bullshit. Anyway, it's probably 100% bullshit.
Yeah, and it
but
makes it hard
in this situation,
for an open discourse,
right? Yeah, and but now it's like, you know, I mean, not everyone that's making the political decisions in Germany now for us is somebody that I've voted for, and so yeah. I just have to keep an open mind. And I think party politics, for example, are not important right now. And I have the feeling that's also part of politics in a situation like this in a democracy. But you also see, of course, you know, so like look at Orban in Hungary and
things like
that. I mean, there are people that can make use of this for their own, you know. I mean, look what Putin does, or look at, you know, I mean, we had the topic. I think you know what I'm trying to say.
That's pretty interesting. Like if you compare a little bit, like what's our like open liberal, like even if we have not the like liberals or we have the conservatives in power. I mean, like the whole politics shifted more to be like left liberal, like to be honest. Like, so it's pretty hard for the big parties to find their right position. But if you compare it like our open democracy to the more, regressive and countries like Hungary and Brazil and even the US with a Trump, they all fail. The AfD completely fails here. They are quiet. They have nothing to say. It's pretty interesting. It's also interesting what the whole situation reveals politically, and with all these like right wing populists or populists at all. I mean, it's a bit sad that shortly before the virus really started, lots of them got in power, which is a disaster for a lot of countries. But yeah, now this got revealed.
Yeah, just imagine having to live in the UK right now. But then again, we've moved a little bit away from globalization to a point where, you know, countries are taking their decisions in their own hands and then closing down borders. So, but it's still kind of odd to say, look at, you know, sort of what the UK does, because it still impacts us. It's still very close. I mean, getting back to the impact on the art, we're doing this ghost exhibition, as I always call it, in next week or the week after in Hamburg, which of course people will not be able to visit directly, but personally. But we have works coming over from Denmark, from Rune Christensen, and it takes a long time. And it's just like, I mean, if I would have driven there by car and picked it up, I got it in Hamburg in 4 hours or so. And now it's, you know, so it's stuck in customs, which does not actually exist between Germany and Denmark. We're not used to those things and closed borders and stuff like that. And I mean, Denmark is just, around the corner from us, you know, it's not very far. So that's situations that when you think about it, they're kind of scary, and they scare me at least at some points, you know, more than I'm not afraid of getting sick or dying of the virus. I'm more scared of what this might do to society in some points, you know. But I mean, okay, we have to stick on the positive side. And I think, you know, sort of art can be good in a situation like this, because nobody needs artists or art itself in this situation, like you need food and social interaction and social responsibility towards those who cannot make any money at all right now. As an artist, you might still have some artwork that you might be moving, but just imagine you have a bar or a club or a theater or a shoe store or are a hairdresser or something like that, then it's nothing, zero from one day to the other. It's not that people need art, but I think what we can provide now can be quite helpful on a personal level, you know.
Totally, that's what we always say, like culture is one of the most important things to keep the society together and keep the people busy in their minds. I think, especially in this situation, like all kinds of culture can do a lot. So it's good that people stay creative and maybe give the people a positive vision of where we can go. Because that's also something we can start forming now. Do we want to be after all this? Mm-hmm.
So, you're a bit more experienced in being, you know, professional artist and a lot of other people. Do you have any kind of recommendations or thoughts for artists who are, really emerging and just starting and just didn't really know where they fit in before and don't know where they fit in now? That, you know, for them, what they, you know, sort of might be able to get out of this, you know, because I think it's probably, I mean, bigger organizations and bigger galleries and bigger art communities, they can all, you know, get together and do something great. And if you're just a small, really small gallery or small young artist, you know, sort of you don't even have the reach, you know, sort of to change anything.
Yeah, we thought about them. That must be pretty hard right now if you're emerging. Maybe it just started that, you get seen and... Yeah, I don't know. We never experienced a situation like that. So it's hard to.
We went through hard times, but imagine that you just, you know, like your career slowly starts or whatever, and then you moved in your new studio and you spent all your money on the new equipment, and then boom, everything's on hold. I would be pretty desperate.
For those, at least in Berlin, we could say what was really good was the fund they have for helping them. Like these 5,000 euros, at least for a start, I think for a lot of artists, I mean, they, like most of them were in a situation before where they wasn't able to spend a lot of money each month, so they have maybe their shared flat, maybe a studio shared with others, so not that many costs. So these 5,000 euros, I think they helped a lot. And I saw it with a lot of friends who received them immediately without so many.
So that was very good.
That worked out pretty very, good, very and good I think option. that's really good. Like you can really criticize the government for a lot of things, but this thing really worked out. That was a surprise.
Mm-hmm. And then also, actually, I don't know. Like it's super hard for someone who's young and just at the beginning, but. I think compared to someone who has all the responsibilities with employees and he needs to pay and a big space he needs to pay and all this monthly cost, I think then you're not really in the worst situation that can happen, because I need to think a lot of, and I actually wanted to call like some friends of ours who have like some employees and a big space and how they are doing at the moment.
Yeah.
Because if you just start, you don't have that high monthly costs and you still could, I don't know, maybe find another job during this period and still could do your art on the side, but can get through this. But if you have all this responsibility and monthly costs for your employees and other things, that's a hard thing, I think.
Yeah, true. And at least as an artist, especially as an emerging artist, you learned how to hustle, and you are creative, you are mostly flexible. Yeah, I think you have to come up with your own solutions.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also going to be interesting to see. I mean, with the cancellation of so many events, especially I think for, I mean, looking at the Millantor Gallery for me, which not when we did it, you know, sort of years ago, but now it has become more and more a platform for young artists to experiment and to show and to create, to go wild in summer, and that's more like an art festival where more or less everybody who does art can be part of, and those things are being canceled. I think is difficult. I think also, you know, I mean, the thing with artists, it's still always gonna be something that you have to see in person. We talked about that also in our first podcast. I mean, you made murals that are very large and that include architecture and all these things, and now you just have people are just watching it on their smartphone screens, you know, and that's the only
I also think the other day I was like, oh, okay, will it end up in the kind of mad matrix where everyone is just connected to the computer and you're in an AR or a VR space, but I mean, yeah, you just said it, like online you still have enough opportunities to come up with new ideas, maybe even more than in a physical space.
Yeah, I mean, actually, we live in the best times for a crisis like that, like with the digital connection, plus, the science, the Medicare. Yeah. So, yeah, there are possibilities within that.
Yeah, also for emerging artists to come up with great ideas. I mean, nowadays everyone is focused on social media channels, so. You have the full attention, and if you, and the people are waiting for new things, they can appreciate.
People have even time to consume.
So try to get this money from the government, and then use the time to come up with great new ideas everyone can enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think what US, for example, could do. I mean, I'm not telling you to do this. It's not. I mean, I think there are some elements in your work that are very specific to what you're doing. Like, I mean, the way you work, and you think about letting people getting more insight into that. Maybe, I mean, make an online tutorial workshop about, I don't know, working with tapes and spray paint and stuff like that. You know, something.
Yeah, we already started this like 1 or 2 years ago, where we realized, because usually we are more the ones who like hide in a studio and then suddenly come out with something great and show it to the people and didn't want to reveal too much before. But then we realized, okay, how special and interesting it might be to see our process. And that's what Chris said before, like when we are starting here in the studio, we want to share more of what we're doing here and how we do it.
Yeah,
I don't know if it would be in form of a tutorial. I think that would like keep us too much from doing our actual work, but we will try to give more insights on that for sure.
Yeah, and so we also like just show on Insta story or whatever how we work in the studio, like even renovating or stuff, just to give the people an insight and not just renovate everything and then here it is. So yeah, I think it's interesting to see how things evolve.
You said something before, and that's it's more a technical question. You said like once the painting room is ready in your studio, how do I have to imagine a painting room
just like because we used to work more with acrylics and then you don't need a special room, and now we started to work again more with spray cans on canvas. So we just need a room that is on its own and with a
ventilator, and we need to separate it a little bit because we have two open rooms which are connected to each other. We need to find a solution to
put indoors and then build a wall where you can staple canvas on.
Because that's also pretty cool if you have like a wooden wall where you can directly staple your canvases to before you stretch them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what we want to do.
Yeah, but you also already have like your processes in place and in line. I think that's quite helpful when you can go like this. So your next show would be in September, which we all don't know where that happens, right?
Yeah, it's like super unrealistic.
So we at the moment we're hoping for next year. It's also the year where we have our 10th anniversary. So okay. It's going to be special, and we have enough time to prepare now. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll even be able to release our first book by then. Yeah, it's one of our goals to finally have a book together. Yeah. I think we talked about that last time.
Yeah,
we
talked about the first podcast. Funny thing is that since this all has started, I have not written one page in the book that I'm writing right now, not just with work and everything. I've been explaining this in all the other podcasts too, but it's also with, you know, what you mentioned before, with having a child to take care of and homeschooling and all these things. But
this whole thing will make a great chapter in your book.
True.
Yeah, but you know, the years that I've been just writing about is the time when the markets crashed, and I'm just basically reliving parts of that, and I'm not quite sure yet whether I want to do that again, you know? So I have a lot of different thoughts in my head too right now, so yeah. But yeah, it's supposed to be the closing chapter then in the book, or maybe I should wait another year to have some more positive ending.
Oh yeah, true.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Yeah, it was nice to talk to you again.
The first podcast was more about your art and your other engagements, and that's in German only. But this one is more about the situation right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Talk soon. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you for listening today. I will be back with more talks shortly. If you have any questions for me or my guests, I'm happy to hear them all. Just send me a mail to hello@heliumtalk.com or a direct message on my Instagram @heliumcowboy. Stay safe and healthy, and take good care of everyone around you. Helium Talk.